If you were here on Sunday, Brother Bauer, missionary, and his wife and their kids to Haiti, they talked in the morning about how God hates sin and how in the evening about loving the unlovely. And he took us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And I don't know if you remember, I definitely remember, on Sunday night was Valentine's Day. Brother Joe Mims spoke about love. I will always remember that message. And so I want to talk a little bit about it tonight and remind us of something it's an issue that it shouldn't be surprising that we return to it, because it's a message we continually need to hear. Tonight's message is entitled, We Have Met the Enemy, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm just going to read the first three verses, not the whole chapter. Paul wrote, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If you're 45 and younger, a lot of people would say, whoever gets to be that old anyway? If you're 45 or younger, you probably won't even remember this. If you're mature enough, how many of you ever remember, it used to be in the Sunday comics, a cartoon by the name of Pogo? Anybody read Pogo? Okay, there you go, there you go. Pogo was written by a guy by the name of Walt Kelly. He had the cartoon in the paper from 1948 to 1975, or 27 years. And it was a newspaper cartoon where it was satire, and it was set down in South Georgia, the Okefenokee Swamp, if any of you have ever heard of that. And there were all these animals in the Okefenokee Swamp. Pogo was a possum, and they were personified as people who are just making comments and observations on the inconsistencies, the hypocrisies of humankind, especially in the area of politics. And on Earth Day in 1971, probably he's known for more than anything else. It's Earth Day 1971. You know, the first attempt at the Green New Deal. And they're down there in Okefenokee, and it's Earth Day, and they're walking around down there in the swamp. And there's just litter and trash and garbage. You know, people just toss things out and back up their pickup trunk and dump it in there and everything. And so that little possum, Pogo, he's talking to his friend there, and he says, you know, when it comes to things of trying to do the right thing, he said, we have met the enemy. Does anybody know the rest of it? It's ourselves, says here, and he is us. We are our own worst enemies. Well, every time I remember that, and I'm talking about it tonight, because ain't it the truth, that always gives me pause, because it so perfectly describes me. Maybe you've heard me say it before, but the devil is not my worst enemy. He can tempt me, he can try to get me to do things, but he can't force me, he can't control me. The last person that has to give permission to Earl Burcott to be a real bonehead is Earl Burcott. Okay? You can't blame anybody else. And so I'm just going to go out here and I'm just going to say, if you want to disagree with me, that's fine. You have a right to be wrong. But I think probably each and every believer in this room, probably your worst enemy is yourself. Okay? So we would look at this. We always, in the local church, we always need unity. And we pray for it so desperately and need it at the local church level. You know, there's the universal church. We've got churches all over the world and all kinds of people who will never know this side of glory. But the unity we really need is right here at Berean Baptist Church. We're the people that hang out with each other most of the time. So, between us as brothers and sisters here at the local church, it is vital that we are especially focused in all of our things, but especially here we are, you know, in this matter of searching and praying and depending on our Savior God in the matter of a new pastor. You might say, as they say in the Navy, all hands on deck. Anybody that calls this church their own, all the time, praying, participating, you know, everything that this church is, all the different pieces, we need everybody to do their part. There is what we said here today, this foundational love chapter has been touched on. God is a God of love. He loves to love. He is love. And if you remember what Brother Bauer said that on Sunday morning, that's why, because God is a God of love, why he so absolutely is furious at sin. Because sin is what seeks to destroy our love. Sin is that deadly pandemic plague that is the toxic acid and poison in our life in Christ and fellowship with one another. You know, I don't care what it is, whether it's AIDS or COVID or bubonic plague, that is all Shirley Temple compared to sin. Sin eats us alive. Our other enemy, the devil, as I said, he's always on the scene. He's, you know, always going to pull out all the stops, everything he can do to get us to get after each other. If he can't get us in hell, at least he wants us in sin. Because if he can get us in sin, we're not effective. We'll, you know, things, it'll just domino theory out of there. And so we don't have to worry at Berean that the devil is going to get us to lose our salvation. He can't do that. We're kept by the power of God. But he can get at us second best. Get us to get at each other and get us into sin. Would you turn then, please? I want to look at some passages tonight as we look at this. First one we're going to is Ephesians 4, and we'll start in verse 15. I'll probably pick up the speed just a little bit because I want to read portions of this chapter because it's so important. Now let's focus in then on what God wants us to do. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to believe the right stuff, and he wants us to behave in the right way. It's not one or the other, all right? It can't be just belief, because if it was just belief, then we could say, you know, I am a very nice, warm, and caring person, and I want to remain that way, because as a Mormon, I want to be a credit to the LDS faith. I'm a compassionate, nice, I help people, I do kinds of, it's just that my belief is a cult. Or I can be an absolute Bible scholar and know everything as much as possible, theology, church history, you know, just immerse myself in this kind of a thing. But if my behavior is carnal, you know, what does it matter? That's what 1 Corinthians 13. So you got a doctorate in theology, but your behavior stinks. You don't love. What's it profit you, Burkhart? It's not nothing. So we have to be careful in this. Now, here we go. Verse 15, Ephesians 4:15. Think about this at the local church. Read it, and you know you're going to hear my voice. But think about within yourself: how am I doing according to what Paul has written? Here we go. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everything we do here, the machinery of the local church, if I can use kind of a icky kind of a thing. You know, with machinery, what do you got to keep it greased. You got to keep the oil on there so it'll keep on going. The fluid of Christianity is love. It's what keeps everything going. If the love is out, if you don't, forget about the rest of it. Down in verse 22, Paul says that, you know, when you're born again and you're in the local church and you've got brothers and sisters that you put off concerning the former conversation and the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, all your habits, all your hobbies, all your friends, and everything outside of Jesus Christ before you were born again. Paul said it. It's a bunch of dung. It's garbage. You want to look about the good old days. They weren't the good old days. They were the corrupt old days of you and your sin. And be renewed, verse 23, in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Here's the stuff we should not be doing. Lying? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry? Hey, Jesus Christ was angry. But his was a righteous anger. He was not out of control. He wasn't foaming at the mouth mad. He was angry. But it says, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I was angry this last weekend. I think there could be something to say for what I was concerned about. But that was what it was. I was angry at a situation. But then when I went and had a conversation, I went, boom. You know? I'm talking to somebody else about their behavior when Jesus is saying, hey, Earl, are you hearing this? You know, you're talking about somebody else's behavior. How are you doing, buddy? You know? I said, yeah. Yeah. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So do you see this? Just as we're going to move on, what we've just read here is the Holy Spirit saying to the church, whether it's a local church on the other side of the world or the local church right here, you have been blessed with the truth to be able to know the Word, to believe the right things, to have correct doctrine. That's what you believe. But if your behavior is that you don't care for one another, you don't want to be around one another, you get into these snits and these snats, well, if that's the way they feel about it, you know. But I believe the right things. My behavior is abysmal, but I could tell you all kinds of things about the doctrine of this and the doctrine of that. And God says, you know what? You're like Ephesus. You got all the doctrine straight, but you know you have lost your first love. And what I'm saying here, I want to tell you, you think I'm preaching to you? I'm really preaching to me because this was brought. You know, Jesus came as a right there. I said, ha-ha. But I honestly think I can say that this connects with each and every one of us. I can tell by looking at you. There's nobody back out. I don't see anybody sitting there and say, oh, Brother Burkett, I know you're talking about committing sin, but I can't tell you the last time I did that. I just don't commit sin. I said, I'm glad you told me that, Mr. Perfect or Ms. Perfect, because I'm going to get out some sunglasses so I can shield my eyes the next time I have to talk with you. When I'm talking to you by it right now, that our behavior doesn't match our belief, that registers with each and every one of us. There's not a person in this room that's going to say, yeah, this has really been a waste of time. I didn't need to hear all this. You know, it's like that rich young ruler. You know, I've kept all those things from my youth. No, you haven't. Let's not be self-deceived. Let's move on then. So that is that. Now, we see a situation. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, where we had something happened where it was done the right way. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, you know from the very get-go, Peter had been a disciple of John the Baptist. He came to Jesus Christ, and he was selected to be the chief apostle. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul's writing about, you know, in those days, even after the resurrection, Paul was an absolute enemy to the Christians. He thought Jesus was a false Messiah. He persecuted the church. He was there at the day that they stoned Stephen. He held the wraps of the people who were, you know, throwing the stones at Stephen. I mean, he was deep into the other side, and yet we know in the book of Acts, God gloriously saved Saul of Tarsus to become Paul the Apostle. Look at verse 18. Paul then says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Wouldn't you have loved to have been here? Here's a former persecutor of the church spending 2 weeks with the chief apostle. These men getting to know each other, former enemies, now brothers in the Lord. That'd have been a special time. But yet, let's go over to chapter 2 and verse 11. Here's something where the behavior of someone wasn't what it ought to be, and somebody of necessity had to deal with it. Verse 11, Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed." He said, "I didn't have any choice." He did this publicly with these Christians who were Gentiles. And when the Judaizers showed up, he got weak in the knees and started going over towards them. He didn't want to be seen with the Christian that were the Gentiles, because it might offend the Judaizers. So, you know, he's playing this role of, "I'm going to get over here with the, you know, the people are a little more Pharisaical, so I can appease them a little bit." And Paul saw this and he said, no. You're not going to get away with such hypocrisy. It was necessary. Verse 12, let's go through this now. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." It got to be a herd mentality that we Jews need to stick together because these are believers, but, you know, they're just Gentile believers. Verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." You see what the thing is? Peter's behavior was not what it was supposed to be. And Paul went to him and he confronted him, but he did not explode. He did not condemn. He went up to him and said, "Peter, I have to do this. Why? Because I love you. Because this needs to be done. You're behaving in a manner that you ought not behave." And he comes to him, and I think when he came to him, we could see that he did it properly and lovingly as brother to brother. Just the way they had met as brother to brother back there in the beginning, he came to him again and he looked at him. He said, "You know what? You're my brother. I don't enjoy doing this. I don't want to do this, but I have to do this, Peter. What you're doing today is sending a very bad signal, and it has to be dealt with, and it has to be dealt with right now." And I really think, now at the time, I want to tell you something. Peter was probably very embarrassed, probably hurt terribly, but he probably thought later on, "You know, Peter, you bonehead, you deserved that. You had it coming, Peter." I think it probably, if anything, deepened his love and appreciation for Paul, that Paul, instead of just playing it safe, went and confronted his brother over his sin. Psalm 133:1, just real quickly, you don't have to even turn there, you know it. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I'm not looking at anybody again, I'm talking about me. I have brothers and sisters. You're all my brothers and sisters. Certain brothers and certain sisters at certain times. Maybe that unity gets a little bit strained. Okay? But you know what? I better not go and say, "You know, I'm going to wag my finger at you. You know, things could be perfect here at Berean Baptist Church. Why do you have to be here?" Yeah, that's going to work. But if that's my attitude, God's going to say, "You know, they got a better chance at that unity. Earl, but why did you have to come there?" That'll come right back. That's like a boomerang. You know, you don't wag your finger. No, you come with a warm heart. You come with an attitude that there but for the grace of God. And you talk and you say, "Hey, can we talk?" And we have to make an understanding, because I think, honestly, this applies to everybody. I know I said that, but I want to stress it. This applies to all of us. There's going to be some time, somewhere, at some point in your life where there's going to be a brother or sister in the Lord that you're going to do something, that you're going to disappoint them, and then you know what? You might disappoint them and back and forth. That's not the question. There's going to be differences. There's going to be disappointment. The question is, where do you go from there? That's what we have to ask. And so we need to approach one another always with an attitude of love. Can we talk? Because how we approach one another, and I've learned this and I failed at this, when I approach somebody else about anything, even if I think it's legit, if my approach is not loving but lethal, what did 1 Corinthians 13 say? Earl, you're just wasting your time. Because what they're going to remember is not what you're saying, but how you came at them. You just shoot yourself in the foot. That's how unity has to be done. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Oh, yeah, real quickly. And then I'm going to summarize this. And here's where it comes down for all of us. Jesus is speaking now. This is, you know, the Beatitudes time. Chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own, is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I read in this, and I was certain, without a shadow of a doubt, over this last weekend, Jesus was saying to me, Earl, that's hypocritical. You had something to say, sir. You had something to say, but you approached it in the way that you were just absolutely disgusted with that speck in that other person's eye, and you didn't really pay much attention to the telephone pole that's in your own. So in closing here tonight, as we go our separate ways, hey, there's going to be times that you are going to need forgiveness. Somebody's mistreated you, and you were offended. You were the one that needs to hear other, and they're going to come, and they're going to say, hey, you know what? I realize I did wrong. Thank God if you realize that, and you come to them, and you say, what I said to you, the way I said it to you, was wrong. Will you forgive me? And there's going to be times where you're not going to need to hear that from somebody else. You're going to mess up. You're going to offend somebody. And you're going to need to go to someone and say, you know what? This time it's me. I mistreated someone. I misspoke. I shouldn't have done what I did. Brother, sister, I'm asking you, would you please forgive me? So either way it goes, always be ready to do business. You know, if you go to someone, just as a warning from God to all of us, if you get a self-righteous attitude and somebody comes to you and they're basically making themselves vulnerable, well, I don't know, I'll have to think about it. You know what? That's on you. If God tells you to go to someone and somebody comes to you or vice versa, and you're just like, well, you've hurt me so deeply, I don't think I can talk with you right now. I heard someone, said one time, well, I'm ready to forgive them, but they have to come to me first. And I said to that person, then don't think you're willing to forgive. You're not. So we close. Let's be careful. In all these situations, in the local church, remember, if we say, who does this person think that they are to come and tell me anything? Well, in the local church, they're probably your brother or sister in Christ. That's probably who they are. We're covered by the same blood of the crucified one. And so there's going to be times, I'll just read this, and there's going to be times where it could be all kinds of things where our behavior is wrong. It could be we're selfish, we're conceited, we're out of control, we're pompous, we're impulsive, we're obstinate, lazy, domineering, disrespectful. And in this case, I think I've got pretty much of those covered all by myself. But I'm asking you this. Please forgive me, and I'll forgive you. And we'll go together in the way Jesus Christ would have us to go, because none of us is perfect except Christ. But let's always be ready to deal kindly and lovingly within Berean Baptist Church, because we're all in this together. Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, Oh, it is true. We have met the enemy, and so many times it is us. God, who is willing to forgive us, thank you that you're always willing to remain, to forgive us even in our Christian walk. And if this is my last in this part, if there's somebody in here tonight, I don't know who you are, but if there's somebody in this church tonight where maybe they're both in this room, things aren't the way they should be. Oh, there's been a disruption. There's been a hurt feelings. Who knows why? You know what it is. But let's not go to our separate corners and pout and think, well, they're the ones who did this. No, no, no. Let us both run towards each other, meet each other, and say at the same time, will you forgive me as I forgive you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Did you want to, you have something for us?
I was told that you wanted to sing another verse of I'm Not Bound But Every Blessing.
Yes, yes. Let's stand. Yeah. I had said that, but I just didn't know if that's why you'd come through. Okay, 243. Is that every fount or count your?
Yeah.
243. Number three.